Hanrahan. Okay, so I told you were going to get it hard, fast, and continuous, and you did. How many of you found it easy to listen to him and his accent? Irish people, you know. So if you didn't know it, you had to function in the gift of interpretation the whole sermon, but it was good. Great. Excited about Easter coming because it's almost like the watershed of what we are as Christians that determines the difference between Christianity and everything else. It's about the greatest gift that came to planet Earth for you and I. Are you excited about that? Come on. I think some of you have forgotten how nice it is to be saved and how grateful we are, because Jesus didn't change his mind. And I tell you what, I'm eternally grateful for everything Jesus did for this man. He was a broken man. He was a man that didn't understand who he was. And yet somehow God put his hand on my life. And I am so grateful for that. And I want to talk to you based on that as well, because Tommy last week said something, and he mentioned the word purpose. You and I have a purpose. So if you want to give tonight a title, it's called purpose. Purpose. And so here's the question. Why do you exist? Do you think that maybe you're just the creation of a moment between mom and dad? No. That you and I, the reason why we're here is because somebody thought about you and I way before that. Are you here? Okay. Why do you live where you do? Why are you made the way you are? Have you noticed that you're different to the person right next to you? Why did God do that? Why did he make you like you are? Why do you carry the passion that you carry? Why do the things that excite you excite you? Why do you come to church? Why do we spend time with the Lord? Why do we read his word? Why? There's lots of reasons why these things happen. But there's one major reason, and it's all because of this, because you have a purpose, and so do I. You were not put on earth just for free. And by the way, to everybody that's visiting us from all over the world, it's good to have you with us. But you and I have a purpose. So, if you have your Bibles, 1 John 3, verse 1, and we read, it says, see what great love the Father has lavished. I love the word that the Bible says. Lavish means he's heaped. He's smothered us with it. It says that we should be called children of God. Yeah. What an amazing statement just about us there. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it does not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. What we will be has not yet been made known. In other words, your greatest days are still ahead of you. Somebody get excited about that, please. Your greatest days are still ahead of you. You right now, you could be looking through a lens that has just got more mountains than answers. Maybe you're going through some serious challenges. Maybe there's some serious cracks that have appeared in your life. Whatever the things are, I want to tell you that the Bible says here that your days ahead are still greater than what you've been through. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. Come on, Lord Jesus, when you appear. For we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. So in other words, that becomes the reason why I walk away from sin. That is the reason why I allow God to work in my life, is because I am waiting for his appearing and I want to represent him to the best of my ability. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sin, and that in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Verse 7, dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray, but he who does what is right is righteous. That's what Jesus came to do. He came to declare you and I righteous. Righteous before God. Just as he is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil, but the devil has been sinning from the beginning. Listen to this. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's works. I love King James Version. It says, for this purpose was the Son of Man manifest. Jesus came with a purpose. And you're it. The purpose, the reason Jesus came, because he had you on his mind. Everything he went through through the cross, all the pain, all the abuse, everything, because he had you and I on his mind. And so Jesus did not come to give it a try. Jesus didn't come to make the best of it. Jesus didn't come and say, sirrah, sirrah, whatever will be. No, Jesus came with a mission. Jesus came with a commitment to fulfill the mission. He came with purpose. And I don't know about you, but I'm very glad he did. So he had purpose. It was not even, and here's the thing. His purpose wasn't over until he had accomplished everything. There was a time in my life when I wasn't well. And my only prayer was, Jesus, I will not leave this earth until I've had every conversation, I've had every meeting, I've sent every message, I've preached every sermon that you have destined for me to preach, then I will expire from here and go to heaven. But until then, my feet will be on planet earth and I will fulfill that thing because you sent me here with a purpose. And that's exactly the same for every single one of us. If we do not have a purpose, we will allow anything to invade our lives. That is why the enemy is able to trick us. When we are purposeless, he is able to sidetrack you and I down a road and get us entangled in things that we shouldn't be getting involved in because we've lost focus. You're getting quiet, but it's okay. So I want you to imagine you're going to a funeral. And you know some funerals, they allow you to look at the casket. And you open the door. When you go and look inside there, it's actually your funeral. And there are four people. You see on the program, there are going to be four people. They're going to speak about you afterwards. It's going to be a family member. It's going to be a close friend. It's going to be a work colleague. And it's going to be somebody from the church. Will you be nervous? You are all too serious tonight. What's happened? Well, you're just thinking about that now. What would you want them to say about you? What would you want your family member to say about you? What a rebellious character. My goodness me. What do we want your closest friend? Can I share with you very quickly? My closest friend when I left school. So I gave my heart to the Lord when I was 14. I am not proud of how I lived as a Christian when I was at high school because I had some self-image issues and I was just trying to be accepted. And so the line of walking with Jesus was very blurred for me. And I don't come out of a Christian family. So there was no point of reference in the sense of what Christianity should look like. But my best friend, when we finished school and we were saying goodbye to each other, my best friend said these words to me, Basil, you have not been an example of Jesus to me at all. I want to encourage you, don't ever find yourself somebody telling you that said because it hurts. But I'm so grateful for that because it was there that I had to decide, am I going to carry on living like I was and have that statement when people look at me, or am I going to choose either Jesus or nothing? But you can't live on both sides of the line. And I thank God that I made the choice to serve Jesus with everything from that day onwards. But it was sore. What are they going to say about you? What do you want them to say about you? Remember, I don't just become something. You're not just going to become someone that's really loving Jesus. You've got to aim for that. You've got to work towards that. You've got to hang around the people that are going to help you get there. That's why I asked you, why do you come to church? Because hopefully you're hanging around people that are going to help you get to who you should be. Why do you, your friends, show me your friends and I'll show you who you are going to be in about 5 years from now. It is easy to go nowhere. Many people are going there. And it's easy just to follow the crowd. You just don't have to do anything. You just float along with them. You see, a dead fish can only go where the stream is going. It is only a live fish that can swim upstream. A dead fish can only go where the stream is going. If you're a dead fish in the stream of the world today, you will be swept away with every ungodliness that's happening right now. And it's going to be a serious problem for you to live a godly life. Something is going to have to come alive in you, and you're going to have to learn to swim upstream. You're going to have to go against the resistance. You're going to have to go against what everybody else is saying. You're going to have to go against it. You might not be even popular because of that, but you're going to have to determine in your heart, am I going to serve God or am I not going to serve God? I see there's a lot of young people around here. Young people, the world needs you. Not to be a compromiser, but to be someone that will stand for godliness. Your voice, you're the next voices that has to start to stand up. Us old topis, we're kind of like moving on now. And when we talk, not very many people listen, but you guys are mixing with that generation. You have to stand up. You have to become those people. And that's why we're praying that the fire of God will really grab you. So what do you want people to say about you on that end of your funeral one day? He was a liar. He was a cheat. He was a negative influencer, bad role model, promised one thing but did something else. His word was never his bond. See, the problem is that's who I was before I really started to serve God. I remember I had such a self-image issue that I'd never want to say no to anybody. So somebody would say, listen, can you come and help me on Tuesday to move house? I'll say, I'll be there. Somebody else would come and say, listen, I need a lift on Tuesday to go over there. I'll be there. Now, do you know how much chaos that caused in my life? It was crazy. Well, are they going to say this about you? What an amazing person. What an encourager. What an example. What a man or a woman of such godly morals and values that when they were around, you just wanted to aspire to be like them. What an amazing asset to our society. Our society is going to be poorer without having them around. What do we want people to say about us? You see, people of purpose leave a legacy behind them. I'm asking us the question, do we leave people better than we find them? Or is there chaos behind us where we've gone? Have we used and abused people? Have we treated people like nothing? Or have we added great value to them that they will remember the time you were around? Not so that your name, but remember wherever you and I go, we represent the kingdom of heaven. And that's the only thing people have to see when they've never seen Jesus themselves. They see you and I. And what kind of legacy are we leaving behind? Are we people of purpose? You see, if we're people of purpose, every single one of us has had some hardship. You've taken some big knocks. Something's punched you. But you see, people of purpose never step back. They step up. They get themselves off the ground again. I remember watching Rocky, the movie. Man, I remember the first one. I was a teenager when that thing came out. And I remember when we came out of the movie, the whole bunch of us, we just went running down the road. I don't know what we're going to do. But man, we just felt like running after watching that thing. People of purpose know in whom they believe. Paul says that to Timothy. He says, I know in whom I have believed, and I know that he will look after that which I've entrusted to him. When you and I are people of purpose, we know in whom we believe. We know that God's word is his bond, and he stands by it. And therefore, I can stand on it. I can build my life on that. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, it says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. I loved Roy, your thing on thing today, well done. You did so well. But it says here, he blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. He chose us. Chose us means he selected. You are chosen. How many of you played that game where what time did I start? I don't know. Okay, we'll end before 6. How many of you at school when you make teams and then you get 2 leaders and then they will choose? And like, how many of you were ever the last guy to be chosen? And how good you felt. So this is not what the Bible is saying. You weren't the last one. You were chosen. You were like the first person. I want you in my team. For he has chosen us in him before the creation of the world. To what? To be holy and blameless in his sight. If you and I do not have purpose in the reason, that is what my intention is to be holy and blameless before God. Then guess what? Any tide is going to take me away from that. In love, he predestined, he set us apart to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he freely gives us in the one he loves. In him, and only in him, we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sin, in accordance with the riches of God's grace. And he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mysteries of his will according to his good pleasure, which he predestined in Christ. I love that. He made known to us the mysteries of his will according to his good. You hang around Jesus long enough, you're going to find out. You're going to find out. I had no clue about my life. But I hung around long enough to eventually, I didn't even pick it up. Everybody else was picking it up. There's a call of God in your life. Where am I? Verse 10, to be put into effect when the time had reached its fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works in everything to conform with the purpose of his will. I'm just wanting you to see when he's talking about purpose here. In order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having believed you had marked in him with a seal the promise of the Holy Spirit, whom is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who God's possessions to the praise of his glory. Verse 15, for this reason... Bible, another Bible says, and for this purpose, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you. That's God's word about you. That when God heard about your faith, when God saw your faith, he set a purpose, and that's what God was breathing in us. He's breathing in us something because he has set us aside for things. So, I want to talk to you about when we don't have purpose. Just very quickly, illustration. In 1994, Shirley and myself went on an overseas trip, a Trafalgar bus thing. And in 3 weeks, we did 7,000 kilometers. That was a lot. Jeez, I want to give you advice. Don't do that. Because you see too much, you don't remember anything. and I think you did like 400 Ks every day in a bus. So what happens is they said... Because in the bus you got people from all over the place. They said every day we had to move a row of seats. So on the left-hand side you had to move row one back, and it all had a chain reaction. So that during the day you would sit next to a different couple or a group of people so that you could get to know who was on. And there was a gazillion from Australia. I think the Australians live on holiday. But anyway, this one couple actually just, I've never forgotten them. Because the conversation, hey, how are you? Where are you from? What do you do? That's kind of like where this thing goes. And I asked him, so what do you do? And he says, I am a undertaker. So that's very interesting. So me and you can get together. We can start a business. It's really good. But he said this. I said, why do you become an undertaker? He said, well, my dad was an undertaker. He says, and my grandfather was an undertaker, and my great-grandfather was an undertaker and my great-great-grandfather was an undertaker. I said, so I said, does this a family business or whatever? And he actually said these words. He said, I didn't want to become an undertaker, but I started to work there. And here's the worst thing. His son is. But he said this. He said, I didn't want to be an undertaker, but I went to go and work there after school because I never had another job. And he says, I've never left. And the reason why I share that with you is that if we do not have purpose, the rut of life will suck us in. Look at your life. There's times where I get into a rut. Like when my life is so boring. It's like yuck. Because I've lost my purpose. So the question I have to ask myself, why am I here? And that's the question that all of us need to be asking ourselves as well. Why are we here? You see, I don't want to fall into that rut of life. And that's why I need to understand what God's word says about me. And the God's word says about you. And it goes right back to Genesis chapter 1, 26, where God says this. He says, and God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness so that they may rule over. You see, he's given us something to do. He rule over the fish, the birds, the livestock, the wild, all the creatures that move along the ground. God has put you and I in charge of something. He was something that he wants you and I to do. Your life has purpose. In Ephesians 1:4, it says, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world. What for? To be holy and to be blameless in his sight. You've got something to do. In Ephesians 2:10, it says, we are God's handyman or workmanship created in Christ Jesus. What for? To do good works. We can't be saved by works. It's a gift of faith and it's a grace to us. But when you and I are saved, there is something for you to do. This little finger might seem insignificant to this body, but man, take it out of this body and this body doesn't function well anymore. Not to its full capacity. And so this local church needs you because you've been planted over here so that you can add value to it. Why? Because you have a purpose. There's not one chair over here that does not have a purpose connected to it. Please say amen. Thank you. So number one is I'm here to have a relationship with the Most High God. He's called the creator of heaven and earth. He has a son. His name is Jesus Christ. And the history has recorded him going to the cross. In fact, so much so that he split history in half. AD, BC. And whether you are a believer or you're not a believer, there's something you cannot deny because the whole world functions on AD and BC. So do you want to know Jesus is real? Yes, he is real. And why is that important? Because your and my purpose flows out of that. If I'm not connected to the tree, I cannot draw and become who God intended me to be. If a fruit is not connected to the tree, if a branch is not connected to the tree, it falls to the ground and it dies. Your and my life is connected to the local church. That is where your purpose is going to flow out of. What does purpose mean? Purpose means original intent. God's original intent. What was he thinking when he wired you and I up? Why did he put the gifts that he did on the inside? Why did he give you the character, the nature and all those things? Yes, the world has corrupted all that kind of stuff, but God put those things inside there. Why? Because he needs you to be you. So that you, every person that he brings you in contact with, then you have appointments. I don't believe in just a coincidence. I believe in God incidences. Because God puts you in places. Let me tell you how amazing God is. 30, let's leave years alone. long time ago, when we were in Cape Town, and it was not a very happy experience. We lived down, okay, it's not connected here. It was connected down to Fishhook area. But it was not a very pleasant time in my life. And when we left, I said, thank you, Jesus. I'm never moving to Cape Town again. Surprise for Noddy. He came back. Why? Because somehow my purpose is connected. And I went wandering all over the place, and I believe that all those wanderings were in God because I connected with people, and I had experiences and all that kind of stuff. And every time you go through something, whether it's good or whether it's bad, it's building something into you. And I've looked at my life, every time I've had a move, we've moved a lot, Lord help us. And every time we go to the next place, the things we face there, we got to realize that the previous place was our apprenticeship. It was helping us, preparing us for what was coming. So you need to understand that even though I've done one mighty long trip right around and come back to Cape Town again, all those things have been in preparation. Why? So that I can still fulfill my purpose. How many of you have also realized in your life you don't just learn about stuff? And unless the pawpaw hits the fan, you just ignore it. It's when those pips are going everywhere that you realize, okay, I need to give this thing some attention. So just on original intent, and understand, if I gave you a pen and I asked you, what is it for? What would you say? Say again? Throwing. It sounds like you came from the school that I was in. You just do something different because you just want to be otherwise. But yes, okay, so let me help you now. So just in case you didn't know this, you never got the revelation. Pens were created to write. That was the whole intent, the purpose. And that's why you can remember a lot of stuff, because you use it and you write stuff down and all that kind of stuff. But is it the only thing that you can use it for? No. You can dig a hole with it if you want to. It might not work the same. Listen, you got to catch this now. It might not work the same, but you can. But you will ruin it as a pen. Bring that back to your and my life. What did God create you and I for? It was a relationship. But what has happened along the road? That relationship has got corrupted, and therefore we've got involved in things now that actually has been destroying us. And God's bringing us back to be that original pen that He created that will write. That psalmist says that my tongue is a pen of a ready writer. We can write stories. And we can write things in the hearts of people. Not because we're important. Please listen. We're not promoting people about better. But you have a role, and I have a role in the sense of the people that we're going to see. And so that's exactly what happened to humanity. Humanity is being destroyed through sin and through the relationships that we've got involved in. And the Lord is calling us back to our original purpose. And that is why we celebrate Easter. It reminds us of the greatest gift that came for you and I. Greatest gift. And out of that relationship, the Lord wants you and I again to have dominion. He calls us ambassadors. What is an ambassador? Someone who represents another country in another country. Was that a good English? Represents a country in another country, I think is better English. Okay, so you can see English wasn't my highlight at school. To be an instrument in His hand. He doesn't want you to know everything before He can use you. He just needs you and I to be available. And it's amazing that in that, He does stuff. Sometimes when I'm talking to somebody and then I listen to myself, I'm thinking, that was amazing. Where did that come from? Because I know that the resources inside here didn't know that. But somehow God uses us. He wants us to be a messenger of His kingdom, to be the carrier of the fragrance and the presence of Jesus. Who's the great evangelist that would just walk down the street and people would just start to repent? Was it, this man today, I don't know what he had for lunch. He wants you and I to be a light in a dark place. He wants you and I to be the salt where the taste of hope has been lost. God wants us to be that. He wants you to be an influencer. And if you're living double standards, you can't be that. If you've lost your reason why you're here, you can't be that. So God is calling us back to understand our purpose. You see, once my heart gets connected to heaven, then all of a sudden I start to function in all the gifts that God's given me. That's quite amazing, that. It's something that you and I never worked for, but it's inside you. And as we fall in love with heaven, so it seems like those things are just, they just come alive. And we become these people that we actually never knew we had these things. We didn't even know we had carried them. Then all of a sudden, we people that we're looking for opportunities and we're looking for needs and we desire to be a blessing wherever we go, and we have a servant heart that we're not looking for promotion. We're not looking for the place where everybody notices. No, we just want to get the job done. We want to help people do that. We want to become the last in our own mind so that we can help someone else. In 2 Peter 3:9, it says, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but everybody to come to repentance." That's the number one reason why you and I are here, is so that we can lead people to Christ. You might be the only example someone will see of the kingdom of heaven in their whole life. Do you understand that? Do you understand the urgency of the moment? We have a purpose. And that is why in Josh Jen, you will hear, "Dying to live. Dying to live. While I live for myself, I can never fulfill what the kingdom of God wants. But when you and I lay down our life," there's other three words that advance, equip, restore. Advance what? The kingdom of God. That's where, wherever you go, in your working environment, to your neighbors. Equipping the saints. That's what we're here for. To help other people get to the place where they need to be. Restoring, bringing everything back into God's plan and purpose, and everybody to function in their call. Why have you been asking the Lord for opportunities? Why do you desire to serve in the community? Why will you want to help the lady that's coming out of spa with so many bags and help her to a car? Why? Because that act of kindness is going to do something. I don't have to go around and always talk about Jesus. But if I will go and demonstrate love, because love's not something that this world freely gives out. And that's why in 1 Corinthians 13 says, "But the greatest is love." That when you and I demonstrate love to people, real love, not what I can get back out of you, but what can I do for you that you don't have the capacity to give back to me. That's genuine love. That's you and I fulfilling our purpose. You see, Jesus is the only hope of the world. And that is why we need to connect with our purpose. The reason, and I'm trusting, that every Sunday when you go to wherever you fellowship, if it's here, it'll be here. But wherever it is, and even if you go and visit other congregations, I pray that every single Sunday it will be another brick in what God is building in your life to become who God needs you to be. That's why I believe Hebrews 10:25 says, "Forsake not the gathering together of the brethren, as is the habit of some." That we become so hungry for God's word. So we're gonna touch on this a little bit over the coming weeks. But just as thought as I close. Why, when you start a new job, they give you a job description? So you know what's required of you. I believe the Bible gives us our job description. Why is it? What will motivate us to get out of our challenges? Okay, so I don't want you to answer, but I'm just going to throw it out there. How many of you over Christmas picked up weight that you didn't really want to pick up? I don't want you to answer it. Put your hand down. And how many of you have seen that it doesn't leave as easy as it came? It's taking a lot of hard work. So here comes the thing. If you want to lose that stuff that's now sticking to you like margarine bricks around over here, it's taking a lot of hard work. There's purpose involved in it. And so you need to understand our whole life is connected to purpose. What is it going to help you to say no to sin if you have no purpose? You see, Ronald Bonker made this statement. Flies can only sit on cold stoves. That's why I believe the Bible speaks about the fire of God on the inside of us, so flies can't sit on us. You also, you're looking at me, your eyeballs are like this, you know. We talk about purpose. I'm trusting that when you walk out of this place tonight, it's that, God, I don't want to play this game any longer. That we're serious about you. We're serious about building God's kingdom. We're serious about the people that we're walking with. We're serious that when we go into a conversation, that we're serious about communicating you. Don't be religious, but being serious about that. Let me end and land with this one. Do you think God has a purpose for you? I'd like everybody to answer that. Do you think God has a purpose for you? Are you committed to connecting with that purpose? Then I pray that that's going to happen in Jesus' name. So that we will spend our time wisely. We will get involved in the things that we need to get involved in. We'll say no to the things that we shouldn't be involved in. And that we become very focused in building our Christian life in Jesus' name. Because we've been saying this for years and years and years. Jesus is coming. And we've been saying this for over 2,000 years. But here's the serious thought about that one. We have 2,000 years less than what we did have to the coming of Jesus. That's a lot of time that's passed already. And Jesus said, I will not come back until everybody has heard the gospel. So we have a job to do. We have a responsibility to speak the gospel. I think the last time that I heard, there was something like still 1,600 unreached people groups in the world. 1,600 unreached people groups in the world. Now, media and the way technology is going is making it spread quicker. But I'm just telling you, that's the responsibility. You're my purpose, connected, dunk, right there. But more than just the bigger picture of getting the gospel out there is that we're building a church family and you have a purpose right here. Don't neglect this one for that one and don't neglect that one for this one. You've got to build both at the same time because this is going to build you to make you strong so that when you go out there, you are strong. And the relationships that you have over here, so some like amazing, Gerald and Tracy going over, they're going out from a body that's not praying for them. I mean, that's the support is amazing. I find that just like we've had people on the worship team that are not even part of the congregation. They're part of another congregation. That's what family is about. That's what makes us stronger. And so don't neglect this. This is important, but you have a purpose. And don't say, oh, well, somebody else would do that. No, no, no. Here I am, Lord, send me. Isaiah said that. Here I am, send me. I'm not the best qualified. I don't know everything, but here I am, send me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's bow our heads. We're going to pray. Father, we love you.